And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, December 21st, 2017, 16 minutes past 12 o'clock. You're tuned into WWGH Radio and the Now program. It is the first day of winter. This is the winter solstice, the shortest day of daylight hours we will have all year. Now, are you in the Christmas spirit? Because we are 3 days away from Christmas Eve, 4 days away from the big Christmas holiday, and do we have a guest for you today? When you go to people and you say, what is your favorite Christmas song? Time and time again, you will hear them respond, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, 1979, performed by a legendary guy who's done so much with his life. And we're so glad to have him on the telephone today, 3 days from the holiday, Dr. Elmo. Dr. Elmo, how are you?
Couldn't be better, thank you.
Such a pleasure to talk with you. I know you had a performance last night. How were things in New York?
Things are wonderful in New York, even though the temperature's kind of cool. It was a very hot time at the Highline Ballroom last night.
Wonderful. When you got up to perform last night and you did the classic Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, what was the response like?
Well, one thing that I have been noticing lately that I never experienced that much before, because I don't think anybody ever knew who I was. But nowadays, when I get up and perform at one of these places, it's wonderfully flattering for everyone to pull out their cameras. That's a great thing to see.
You have become an absolute legend. Take me back to 1979. How did this great Christmas classic come to you?
I was playing in Lake Tahoe, and I was just playing bluegrass, and because I'm not that great of a singer, I always tried to write funny songs. And so I was doing a couple of my funny songs, and a man came up to me after the show. He says, I have a song that I think would be perfect for you. And I said, okay, let's hear it. And so he got up with his guitar and played Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And I was totally enamored by it because it had all the entrapments of Christmas, you know, like eggnog, you know, the Christmas tree. Like, it was totally wonderful about Christmas, except for the incident where the reindeer runs over his grandmother. And that sort of put a little twist on it, and I thought, you know, this is a beautiful Christmas song, except for the fact that Grandma gets throttled at Christmas. And I loved it, and I went out and recorded it just as a novelty gift for some of my friends. I was a veterinarian at the time and not really in the music business.
When it came out, what was it like when the public got a taste of this?
Well, the first taste they got of it was when a radio personality in San Francisco played it. And after he played it, a bunch of people called in and said, we hate that song where Grandma gets killed at Christmas, and we want you to stop playing it. So that was the initial reaction. But then some other people would say, well, you know, we kind of like that song, and it sort of had the Saturday Night Live type humor to it, you know, a little bit of a dark humor. And so so then a lot of other people called in and said they wanted to hear it again, and they outvoted the ones who didn't want to hear it. That was the first year.
When did it start to become part of every radio station's lineup? Because it certainly is now.
Well, I think about 1983, we were, in 1983, it seemed every year it would be played on a few radio stations. Mind you, I didn't send out a bunch of records. I only pressed 500. That was the smallest amount you could get pressed. And so one radio station started taping it to the other ones around the San Francisco Bay Area. And then they, instead of me doing promotion, I was still working at my veterinary hospital, and they were just taping the song. And I did get wind that it was kind of becoming popular, you know, equally unpopular And then in 1983, I thought, well, I'd invest some money in it and make a video of it. So I made that video, and MTV started playing the video. And that sort of kicked it off. And even though I'd been sending it to a lot of record companies back in the day, there was probably like 75 or 100 record companies. And they all would send the same letter I'd send to them. They'd scrawl on it, "Stop sending me this crap." I had all these letters that said that. So finally in 1984, Epic Records distributed the record, and they took my video. And in 1984, because people had been hearing it for 4 or 5 years but couldn't buy it, that was Epic Records' biggest seller in December of 1984. And also that year, Michael Jackson's Thriller was second to it on Epic Records in 1984. Hard to believe.
It was amazing. When did you start getting requests to go out and perform it live?
It took so long. It was probably 10 to 15 years before anyone ever called to come and play on a concert. And there was a man named Omar Farag, who was quite a good oldies concert promoter. And he called our office and he said, "We like that song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Is there anybody there can sing it?" And I said, "Yeah, I can sing it." And so I went to Cincinnati. That was my first year, and that was probably maybe like at least 12 to 14 years after we recorded it. And I got to play on the bill with Bobby Helms, who did Jingle Bell Rock.
What an amazing thing. When you play that in front of people, because it is a funny song, what is the crowd's reaction when you're performing it?
It's a wonderful reaction. They all, my manager sometimes sits in the audience and everybody looks up and says, "You know something? He sounds just like the real guy who sings it."
Dr. Elmo, what is it about that song, in your opinion, that lets it hold up? It's more popular now, I think, than when it started in 79.
It is very much so. Its popularity has continued to gain all over the years, which is something I never expected. And I just believe that, you know, at some point, in the 1950s, a lot of the great Christmas hits came out. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Most of them were pretty sweet Christmas songs and had all the, you know, had all the trappings of Christmas. But this one was so different and so unusual. And I think everyone eventually really liked the song that has all the trappings of Christmas, but a lot of humor in it as well.
Absolutely. You have done a lot of other great songs. I listened to the one last night about fruitcake, Grandma's Fruitcake. But this...
Thank you.
It's a wonderful song, and I implore people to look that one up on YouTube as well. But this one, it does have all the trappings, but people love it. Have you ever come across another song before you performed it that you said, "Boy, this is going to be as good as that one," or is that one to you the standalone?
Well, we've written a lot of songs since then that we think are pretty good, but this one does seem to be the standalone, and I can't put my finger exactly on why it is. It's very cleverly written, and musically is pretty solid. It has three different parts musically to it, so it doesn't get boring, you know. It keeps changing all along. And so I think, you know, both musically and lyrically, it's a pretty strong song.
Certainly
and
is.
The first time I heard it, I thought it was really great. There's nothing like it. But a lot of people didn't share that view. I was a bluegrass player at the time, and when I went into the studio to record it, the studio owner, you know, I was paying him for the time, but he said, "Elmo," he says, "with all the good bluegrass that you're playing now, why are you wasting your time recording something like this?"
Oh, boy.
And, and the funny thing is like, you know, the royalties from that song enabled me to be able to afford to play bluegrass for a long time.
When you first got the lyrics to this song, Elmo, what changes were made from the time you got the lyrics to the performance?
Well, one of the changes is where we say, should we open up her gifts or send them back? And then we go, send them back. And most of them were still intact. But I did a very, my version sounds very much different from the version that Randy Brooks, the writer, sings. And he has a brilliant version, and we sing it together once in a while. And he's a very, very clever and humorous man, Randy Brooks is. And he was the nephew of the comedian Foster Brooks.
Oh.
And I think that and he's funnier than Foster Brooks ever was, I think, in a very subtle way.
You know, Elmo, now that you've become part of the Christmas season for everybody, what does Christmas mean to you this time of year?
It's the grandest time of year. It's been so wonderful every Christmas. You know, it used to mean going to Christmas parties with friends and maybe singing a few Christmas carols now and then. But now, it's the most wonderful thing to get my 15 minutes of fame, to get up on stage and sing the song and have everyone feel that I'm, you know, a part of the Christmas fabric. It's just the grandest feeling in the world.
How will you spend Christmas this year?
I will be flying home. that's the way we've been spending Christmas a lot of time. But for the month of December, it's been really incredible. We just we always come to New York for the month of December, and then we go on a tour. And we just recently went to Daryl's house in Pawling, New York, and then we went to Philadelphia and played there, and then Washington D.C. And then we played twice in Manhattan in the last couple of nights, and at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey. So getting to go and play in all these fabulous Christmas shows, I am full of the Christmas spirit. I have to say that there's nothing like it these days.
I love it. Elmo, being a musician, what is your second favorite Christmas song?
It may sound funny, but every time I sit down and play the guitar or think about Christmas, I always love to sing the Christmas song. You know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. It's just the most beautiful song I ever heard.
And I think Mel Torme wrote that in something like 30 minutes.
Well, he did it along with a violin player whose name doesn't come to me right now. But it is just a phenomenal melody. And really is just beautiful. And it's just fun to sing it. I sing it all year long.
We are going to hear this great song that Dr. Elmo did, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. But Elmo, before we play the version here, could you give us a little bit of it, your favorite verse or maybe something of that nature?
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. Merry Christmas.
And here goes the song. Dr. Elmo, just hold the line for a second, and we'll come back and wrap this up. But here's the classic, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, Dr. Elmo.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. She'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go. but she forgot her medication, and she staggered out the door into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, she had hoof prints on her forehead and incriminating claws marks on her back. Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. Now we're all so proud of Grandpa, he's been taking this so well. See him in there watching football, drinking beer and playing cards with Cousin Mel. It's not Christmas without Grandma, all the family's dressed in black. And we just can't help but wonder, should we open up her gifts or send them back?
Send them back!
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. Now the goose is on the table, and the pudding made of fig. Ah, and the blue and silver candles that would just have matched the hair in Grandma's wig. I've warned all my friends and neighbors, better watch out for yourselves. They should never give a license to a man who drives a sleigh and plays with elves. Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. Now you can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Sing it, Grandpa.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
What a classic. Dr. Elmo, when you hear that, what do you think?
I love hearing it. I can't tell you what a thrill it is. Even after all these years, it's wonderful to hear it. You know, especially if I'm in a store or something with friends or in a restaurant, if it comes on the radio, it's a joyful thing.
Elmo, 100 years from now, what do you think the legacy of that song will be? Because it's still going to be being played, I'm sure.
I certainly hope so. Thank you for that very optimistic statement. But, no, it seems like it's sticking around. You know, when it first, you know, the first few years, I'm thinking maybe the first 8 or 9 years, on December 26th, it was over. And I never trusted that it was going to come back. I thought it's over, forgotten about. And then, you know, maybe just around right after Thanksgiving, a few people would start playing it, and I'd be so happy. I'd say, well, maybe it's going to come back again. And so I think it's been about 38 years now, and looks like it's here to stay for a little while anyway.
I would agree. What do you think the legacy of that song is?
I think it's going to be one of the classics. You know, I'm sure that, you know, I think it's going to be as classic as Jingle Bell Rock or Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. I think that it's going to, you know, stand the test of time.
Do you ever?
One thing in its favor is that if you can get a Christmas song that becomes a standard somewhat, it's not easy to get in that niche. People tend to like to go by at Christmas time. Everyone wants to go back to the nostalgia of Christmas. And this song is beginning to get into the nostalgia of Christmas now. But it's hard to break in.
Do you ever get tired? Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So I think that, you know, after being even more popular after 40 years, I think it probably has another few years to go before it dies out.
I don't think it's ever going to die out.
Hopefully not.
I don't think so. Do you ever get tired of performing it?
Never. The thing that is so much fun about performing it is the recognition. And even today, if I perform it and they don't say who I am, or even if they do say who I am, everybody still says he sounds just like the guy that did it. Because a lot of people think because it's such a big hit that it was done by a big star, you know, like Willie Nelson or someone like that. And so when they see me, if they didn't know who I was, they just think, you know, I'm just another guy singing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Elmo, Christmas message would you like to leave for all our listeners out there right now?
Well, I hope you all have a wonderful and merry Christmas, and I hope that in some way this song lifts your spirits as much as it's lifted mine in the past few years.
In 500 years, when they're still playing this song, how do you hope they remember you? Because with the internet and the video, you're going to be remembered. How would you like them to remember Dr. Elmo?
Well, I'd like them to remember me as being someone who was very thankful to have a Christmas hit.
I'm so glad it raises your spirits, Dr. Elmo, at Christmas, because it certainly raises all of our spirits. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dr. Elmo, oh my goodness, the original performer of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Does it get any better than that? Not much. We are going to take a quick time out here, but we're coming back momentarily with another guest.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck Full of Nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
I will do
anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. Because well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here, 40 minutes past the hour, and we are in the full swing of the holiday spirit. Want to give you a quick programming note. Tomorrow morning, the last day before the holiday, at 11:15 tomorrow morning, we will be joined by Carolyn Grimes, who portrayed Zuzu in It's a Wonderful Life. She's the little girl in the last scene of the movie who's in Jimmy Stewart's arms. She will be on with us tomorrow morning at 11:15. And at 11:40 tomorrow morning, we're going to be joined by a lady who has nothing but the Christmas spirit, the original performer of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Brenda Lee. That song was recorded in 1960. Brenda Lee, tomorrow morning at 11:40, before we break for the holiday. Next hour, 1:15, we're going to be joined by the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, live in the studio, sharing Christmas memories from Washington, D.C. And then one more thing here, coming up on Christmas Eve at 11:15, Christmas Eve, it's our Christmas Eve special. I will host the special. That night, we will have Gayla Peavy, the original performer of I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, 1953. We will have the Brenda Lee interview, the original performer of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, 1960. And we will have Dr. Elmo, who is the original performer of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, recorded in 1979. That'll be Christmas Eve at 11:15. And Mary Ellen Withrow will read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Oh my goodness, that's going to be fun. But for the last 18 minutes here of this hour, what you do at the holidays is you connect with people who you feel are family because you have so much fun with them. And the real thing, and think about this time of year, this holiday time, the real thing about family that's different than anything else is that they make you feel better. And this lady always makes me feel better. She's an Emmy Award-winning actress. You probably best know her as Ursula in The Little Mermaid, portraying that voice. She is my absolute favorite guest on this program of all time, without question. It's time for a holiday visit. Just like eggnog, Christmas cards in the tree, it's Pat Carroll. Pat!
Ho, ho, ho! Hi, Scott! Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I hope this new year, not only for you, but all your listeners and everybody on the planet, is the best ever they've had.
My goodness, Pat, how are things, how's Christmas out there on the Cape?
Oh, it's always wonderful on the Cape, but Christmas time, you suddenly become aware that living on Cape Cod is pretty marvelous. The people are wonderful, the weather is wonderful, the sky is a deeper blue, the air is a finer essence. It's just, I am so grateful that the good Lord has allowed me to live here. I cannot tell you. I know every place you live that is home is wonderful, but Cape Cod has a special little snap to it, and I think it's in the air, and I think it comes from the ocean.
I think you might be right. It's a beautiful area. When we were there in the spring, late May, it was such a beautiful area.
Oh, what were you doing here?
Well, we came out and visited, remember, Pat?
Oh, that's right! Was that who you were?
That was who I was.
Wasn't that fun? I was so glad you did that. How nice of you.
It was such a pleasure to come out and meet you, and it just was a wonderful time.
Oh, isn't that? Oh, I hope so. I hope so, because I love entertaining people in my home, and I love having people come to the Cape, particularly people who have not been here that much. The Cape is a very special place. I don't know that everybody would love living here, but for those of us who do, it's heaven on earth, and I thank the good Lord every day that I'm here.
You know, it's a unique experience. We were in Manhattan for most of that trip, and as you leave the very hustle and bustle of New York City, goodness gravy, and when you're heading out there to the Cape, the further and further you get out, the less traffic, and the more the more beautiful this. It's almost like you're driving to the end of the earth. It's great.
Yes, isn't it? And in some ways, it is the end from the earth. But I tell you, Cape living is very simple, and the people who live here are such nice people. And they are welcoming, and they are warm and friendly, And it's just a nice place to be. But any place that's home is a nice place to be for everybody, particularly at this time of the year. I think you become more aware of your neighbors. You become more conscious of the family. Now, my family is not here. They're all in California. So I am missing them always. And my granddaughter loves Cape Cod. She can find to come here. In fact, I think she's still in a college on the East Coast, so she'll be close to me.
Oh.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Because she knows she'll be welcome here anytime she wants to come.
What a great thing that'll be for you. That'll be wonderful.
Oh, it'll be marvelous. Be marvelous.
Absolutely.
Because my two daughters are in California, and that's 3,000 miles away, and I don't travel that much anymore. Travel is just hard when you're older, Scott. It's just doggone hard.
Well, at this point, you should just be able to sit back and enjoy. This will be your 90th Christmas.
That's right, and I am so grateful to the good Lord that I've been here for 90 years, and however many more he gives me, I will enjoy.
Pat, in the time you have left, which could be a lot, I think you're going to make 100.
Do you?
I do. You have...
I promise if I do, I'll call you.
Well, I hope so. I hope I'll be the first call, because you still have such energy. You still have such...
Well, that's a gift from the good Lord. I don't manufacture that. I've been given that. I've had it all my life. And I am so grateful, and I hope I say my prayers of thanksgiving every day for my energy. At the age of 90, to have the energy and the good health I have, I am so grateful. Thank you, dear Lord.
How will you be spending Christmas this year?
Very quietly. I am not up to those tumultuous Christmas of years ago. And unfortunately, because I'm not with my family, I won't have a lot of family about me, and I tend to be less noisy when I don't have my family about. It's like I'm showing off that I still got a lot of pep, you know, so they feel good about the old girl on Cape Cod.
Well, I'm glad. Will it be a happy Christmas?
Oh, every Christmas is happy. I tell you, it's a season of the year I wish we could keep in our hearts all year long. I think people they take Christmas the way it should be taken, as joyous, peaceful, and just heavenly. Because we're celebrating a wonderful date. December 25th is pretty wonderful. And I don't know, it brings out, I think, the best in people. Even when you go out shopping, people seem to be kinder, friendlier, enjoying themselves, and I wish we could hold that in our hearts for all year long. It's such a wonderful feeling, and it's so wonderful to be out in it when you get that kind of energy from everybody. It's wonderful.
You know, Pat, something that's interesting that I have just come to the realization of in the last couple years, I used to think that the stores and the buying was kind of putting a little hamper on Christmas, but it dawned on me one day that the stores are busier and people are running into people they don't normally run into, and they are happier, they are more cheerful.
Yeah.
I think, you know, hey, gifts and bright wrapping paper and Christmas music, you hear that in the stores. And I think, hey,
yes,
that's
and everybody seems more aware of that wonderful thing called kindness. We leave that word out of our dictionary sometimes. Kindness is so easy. It's so simple. You don't have to get new clothes or have a new car. To be kind, you can do it every day. Doesn't cost you a penny. And it makes other people feel wonderful.
Absolutely. Pat, you spend your Christmases now on the Cape, but you were born in Louisiana, spent a lot of time...
Shreveport, Louisiana.
Spent a lot of time out in California.
Yep, most of my life.
What were Christmases like in Louisiana and California?
Well, I'll tell you, my parents left Louisiana when I was about 5 to go to California. So I don't really remember Christmases in Louisiana, but I certainly remember my Christmases with my mom and dad in Los Angeles. And oh, how I loved that holiday. But it became even better when I came to the East Coast and it was cold and sometimes there was snow. That felt like Christmas.
When you became a mother, what was it Christmas like when you had the young kids?
Oh, it was wonderful because their excitement, children's excitement about Christmas is wonderful. And I can't separate the excitement about gifts being had by children and the idea of Santa Claus and the idea that everybody is so kind and everybody arrives at your door with gifts or some kind of remembrance of this beautiful holiday. And I have never forgotten my excitement over the Christmas holidays, and that was even enhanced when I moved to the East Coast, because it seems to me Christmas has a chillness about it that makes you feel the warmth of your own home more. And I don't know, I think I've enjoyed my Christmases on the East Coast even better than in tropical L.A.
Is it hard to get in the Christmas spirit in a warm climate?
Oh, I don't think so, because that spirit has nothing to do with climate. It has to do with your heart, and it has to do with the love in you and the love from other people. It has nothing to do with climate or where you live. It's Christmas can be every day of the year if you want it to be, because it's in your heart.
Pat, is there a special kind of food that you like at Christmas?
Any food at Christmas. I just love what hostesses cook, prepare, present at Christmas, because they've put their hearts and souls into Christmas feeding. And it's enjoyable no matter where you go. I love going to people's homes in Christmas holiday, because the hostesses have gone out of their way to prepare something special for the holidays. And it's different in every home. And I would tap on strangers' doors in order to find out what they're presenting.
I love it. You know, Pat, it certainly is no secret to the listeners here. One of the Christmas foods, and I hate to bring it up, that I just cannot get into is fruitcake. Do you like fruitcake?
No.
Me either.
Not really. My mother was a Southern lady, and fruitcake was like their flag, practically. So I grew up with fruitcake of every variety, of every make and brand. I'm not a great fan of fruitcake. It's a little too chewy, juicy, googie for me, but it's so of the holidays, and it's so of my childhood, that I relish having fruitcake over the holidays, Christmas.
We have had a discussion here on the radio this week. Is it poinsettia or poinsettia?
I say both, and I don't know which is correct, and I like both. So I am no person to ask about that, because I don't care. Just have them around you. They are so cheerful. And they make having a poinsettia in a room just makes me feel always Christmas. I don't care if it's a June.
It does.
If there's a poinsettia in the room, I'm celebrating.
It's a beautiful part of Christmas.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The music.
And oh, I hope all of your listeners have such beautiful holiday enjoyment. And I hope with family, because this is such a family time. And if you don't have a family, go out and buy one. You know, I don't care what you do, but be with people you love.
Pat, what was it like to work out in Hollywood in those great years, 50s, 60s, and 70s during Christmas
wonderful
time?
Wonderful years.
Oh, my goodness.
What
was it like at Christmas?
It was heaven. Yeah. But I've always enjoyed the work I do so much that wherever I do it or what time of the year didn't make any difference to me, because I was always having pleasure. I have enjoyed being in this profession, which I wanted to be in since I was 12 years old, and the good Lord has allowed me to work. Well, I'm 90 now, and I started working professionally when I was 20. So I've had 70 years working in the profession I love and have since I was 12.
And still...
Isn't that good fortune, Scott? Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful, and you're still doing voiceover work, still working?
Yes, I am, and I am so pleased that people still accept me on that level because I love doing it. I love voiceover work. And, of course, my dear character of Ursula has been such a joy and pleasure in my later years. I got such a kick out of her.
Now, Pat, what would Ursula, since you know her best and know her voice, what would she think of Christmas?
Oh, Christmas is all bah and humbug. That's the old poop she is.
Pat, music this time of year is so great. What's your favorite Christmas carol?
Come All Ye Faithful.
That is a nice one.
Yeah.
That's a great...
I think any Christmas carol is nice because it is of the day, and the day is very special for people of religion or no religion. It's just a wonderful time. And the Christmas carols that have come to us down through the centuries bring such pleasure and joy, and to have a family singing them is, to me, the end-all and be-all. I don't have to have the most glorious choirs in the world singing. If a family is singing Christmas carols, I am content.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful. I think the music is so simple and so dear that you have to be touched by it. I always get teary with Christmas carols.
Pat, I was just thinking, another part of the holiday is eggnog. Do you like the eggnog?
Oh, do I like eggnog? My mother used to make eggnog that was out of this world. People would drop by who hadn't been around for years just for her eggnog. I love eggnog. And I will not drink it any other time of the year but Christmastide.
That's the right time. Pat, when you were out doing things, now, were you ever into wrapping gifts? People, that's an art form.
Well, I'm not clever at that art form. My mother was. She was born being able to wrap gift packages like she was a professional in a department store. I have none of that. So wrapping packages for me is not a joyous chore. I love the idea of the people I'm wrapping for, but I look like I've been run over in a truck with the gift afterwards. That's how good I am at it.
Pat, when you look back at the 90 Christmases, is there a gift that you were given maybe as a child, maybe as an adult, that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, what a good question. Every year, particularly when I was a kid, my mother, who was, as all people, your mother is so special to you, but that woman knew what I wanted, and every Christmas I got it. And I was never disappointed when my mama was around because she knew exactly what I wanted, and there it was. But I am not good at wrapping gifts. I don't have that artistry. I don't have that touch. I never have had in my entire life. So my older daughter is brilliant at it. She got all of the gifts that I don't have. But I think wrapping gifts is such fun because you're thinking of the person that the gift is for. And I wish I were better doing it so the package looked better, but I'm not. So I'm not going to go crazy about that.
I bet you do just fine, Pat. It's, you know, it's this time of year, you drive around on Christmas night, and it's still the one night where all the stores and grocery stores and fast food and gas stations still all take a minute, and they all celebrate. And there's something very peaceful about Christmas Eve.
Yes, yes, I agree with you. And the fact that you know that everybody has joined together on this holiday, maybe the one holiday of the calendar year, and everybody's doing the same thing. They are celebrating in their own fashion, their own manner, with or without family, but everybody celebrates. And I think that is so wonderful. so wonderful. And think, at the age of 90, I have 90 Christmases to remember. And as I get older, I forget most of them. So I have to create new memories every Christmas.
Well, and we hope you create 90 more Christmases.
Oh, boy, wow. I'll get in on that wish, let me tell you.
I tell you, the only problem this year, Pat, I've had is I just got to my Christmas cards today. So some people might get them after the new year.
Well, that's all right. Do you know what? Don't forget why you're sending them. You're sending them because you love the people they're sending them to. So if they get them on Valentine's Day, it's okay because your heart's in them.
Right. Pat, what message would you like to leave the listening audience with here 3 days before Christmas?
You know what? I wish all of us would say a prayer for world peace. To think of people who are still fighting and killing each other, I don't think so. Let's really concentrate on praying that our entire universe, our world, can finally come to peace everywhere for everybody. That way everybody can concentrate on getting on the road to heaven. Because that's where we're all going to meet and have a ball.
And until we meet there, we're so glad that Pat Carroll is with us. As I always say, you are such a friend to me and such a friend to the show.
Oh, God bless you, Scott. And I wish you not only a joyous Christmas, but a new year full of nothing but blessings.
And
all your listeners also.
Pat Carroll, you know I love you to death. Merry Christmas, and I hope we talk in the new year.
I hope so, too. I'll look forward to that, Scott. Merry Christmas.
Take
care.
Bye-bye. Pat Carroll, it does not get any better than that. We're going to break Mary Ellen Withrow in about 10 minutes.
And all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center level of the Beltway. Thank you so much for playing fair.
Cause the night before wild lights.